Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much. Yay!
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Winsult us.
Good morning, good Phoebe. Good afternoon on this eve of St. Patrick's Day. How are you? Come in, sit down, make yourself a cup of tea. It's not the normal show because a lot of people aren't doing the normal things. A lot of the schools are off. People are travelling here, there and everywhere. I see that 220,000 people will be leaving Ireland to Dublin Airport this weekend. And incoming, 212,000. And we intend to meet some of those because we have Sinead Ní Uachtaráin out and about the streets of Dublin trying to capture the atmosphere in the lead up to the big St. Patrick's Day parade tomorrow. And indeed, if you have a St. Patrick's Day parade in your locality and you want a bit of publicity on the national airwaves, do contact us, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. We've live music from the wall. Steve and Joe will be here, which is great. And for lovers of dancing and rugby, we've the perfect person. Shane Byrne is going to preview the big showdown between England and Ireland in the Aviva Stadium, 5 o'clock Saturday. If we win, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it will be a Grand Slam victory and the first Grand Slam victory on home soil. That's one part of it. The other side of it is that Johnny Sexton will be playing his last Six Nations game in the Aviva Stadium this Saturday, so that's a big event as well. And on the dancing side, of course, Shane was a contestant on Dancing with the Stars, and that reaches its very exciting conclusion, finale, whatever word you want to use, this Sunday. So Shane will be filling us in on the backstage goings-on and who he thinks will be crowned this year's winner of Dancing with the Stars and walk away with the glitter ball. I don't know if it's you get it for a year and you have to give it back. I don't know. Or do they have multiple glitter balls that they give out? I don't know. Anyway, we'll be talking to Shane about that. We'll be digging deep into snakes in Ireland. And was it in fact St. Patrick who banned the snakes from Ireland, or did something else happen? So we'll have snakes in studio and we'll be talking about that and the quiz and lots more besides. There's a great article actually on St. Patrick on independent.ie. It's by Alana Hopkin, and Alana has written a book on St. Patrick, and there's loads of stuff that I didn't know. Alana says in the opening that we think we know the story of St. Patrick, but in fact we don't know all the details. So for example, the shamrock, the three-leaved plant, is just a clover. I'm sorry about that. The three-leaved plant is usually the winter resting stage of red or white clover. Have another look at the plant you picked as shamrock a few months later and you will find it has red or white clover leaves. There you go. And the whole thing about him with the crozier and the big hat and the cloak and all that, that's not. More likely he would have been hanging around in a sheepskin, a pigskin over his shoulder, leather sandals, short tunic, short cloak. That's the way St. Patrick would have hung around. She's saying what we know of him, he was an informal fellow, very inclined to drop in for a chat by the hearth. He is often made responsible for otherwise inexplicable feats of nature. For example, the salmon has the power to jump because a salmon once leapt into St. Patrick's lap when he was hungry and he blessed him with the gift of jumping. Of course, no, it's nature, because the salmon has to get back up the river to lay its eggs and all that sort of thing. But St. Patrick has been credited with that. It's a great article if you want to find out more details about our patron saint. And we're talking Irish and we're thinking Irish today. And we put out the question around the office and we'll put it to you as well. What song makes you feel Irish? And there's the important word there. It's not your favourite song, right? It's not your favourite Irish song. It's the song that makes you feel Irish. And if you get them into us, your suggestions, we play clips. So our Niamh, who's the boss upstairs, this is the song that makes her feel Irish. Oh. The Dropkick Murphys. Ship it up to Boston. Thanks for that, Niamh. Our Grace says this is the one. And Max, who's working on the show this week, he's a big fan of Fontaine's DC. The January markets fill the cold air with the sound. The boys are full of laughter.
and their pocket with the pound. And in the foggy dew, I saw you throwing shapes around.
Dublin City Sky, Fontaines, DC. Emily. Now, Emily says she played it an awful lot, as in Riverdance, an awful lot when she lived abroad. And maybe that's the question as well. What song reminded you of Ireland when you were working or living abroad, or both? Neil, who's producing today?
Glory, hallelujah. God of our oil and the orange juice. Flower of the Bourbons, glory, hallelujah, cod liver oil and the orange juice.
The Mary Wallopers, cod liver oil and the orange juice. And for me, it had to be something by Sinead O'Connor. Stretched on your grave. And the great thing about that song, it near the end, it goes off into this. Traditional Irish music over a hip-hop beast. There you go. They're coming in already. The Rocky Road to Dublin, somebody says. Cranberry's Ode to My Family. Keep them coming in. The songs that make you feel Irish on this eve of St. Patrick's Day. And there's a... We were saying yesterday that a lot of things are weather-dependent, that people are saying, I might go to the parade, wherever it might be, if the weather's good. Because if you're hauling along two or three children, you don't want to be standing out in the rain and the cold. It doesn't matter how good the parade is. So what does the weather hold for us on St. Patrick's Day, as in tomorrow? Well, we put a call in to Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather and asked them to give a roundup of the weather for St. Patrick's Day.
It's going to be a mixed bag of a St. Patrick's Day with the raincoat required for most. There is going to be a lot of showers in the morning in many parts of the country, but then most of the showers will shift to the western half of the country, but there is a risk of some thunderstorms with some thundery downpours. However, there will also be some sunny spells, so it's raincoats, sunglasses, but not too cold. Generally, temperatures of 11 to 14 degrees, pretty mild for a St. Patrick's Day. So don't forget the raincoat and enjoy the day. It's only a bit of rain.
Thanks, O'Reilly. It's okay for you to say that. You're not standing out looking at a parade. So that's the forecast for tomorrow. It will be mild and you might be lucky, you might avoid the rain. Let's see what it's like in Dublin City Centre as we go to Sinead Ní Uachtaráin. Conas Dátu.
Well, Ray, on the Vahar Fad, they say Trinners is for winners, and today I have won because I am here in Trinity College in Dublin City Centre talking to all the tourists and university students who have passed me by on my travels.
It's lovely in there, isn't it?
It's so nice and it's so peaceful, and I forget that Trinity College is here in the city centre and that we have such a lovely space to escape to when
yes.
we're after spending hours on Grafton Street shopping or getting on the Lewis and getting in and on and off buses all over the place. You kind of forget that you have such a lovely haven in the middle of the city centre, and on top of that you have so many things to see in here as well. One example, the Book of Kells, and I'm actually standing outside the building that houses the Book of Kells, and you should see the amount of people that are around. I don't know if they've all arrived for St. Patrick's Day, but certainly a good few of them are here for the festivities tomorrow.
Yeah, and you say a haven is a good word. I would imagine, I often thought, if you were a tourist visiting Dublin City and you just happened upon Trinity College and you went in through under the arch and in, and you go, wow, it would knock your socks off.
It certainly would, and you'd want to be careful as well on the cobbles. No stilettos. You'd be tripping over.
How are you on St. Patrick's Day? What are your memories of St. Patrick's Day?
I have very fond memories of St. Patrick's Day. I grew up in, west of Dingle in County Kerry, and we used to always go into Dingle for the parade every year. And it was wonderful because you'd see all these people that you knew with different coloured floats and local school children. And it was an escape as well. It was also a break from Lent because it does come roundabout smack bang in the middle of the 40 days of Lent. So it was always great to be able to have an excuse to have a few sweets, especially if you were trying to stay away from them during the 40 days.
The St. Patrick's Day dispensation, that's what it was called, wasn't it? You were allowed to break your Lent thing on St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. So we sent out to get to capture the atmosphere in Dublin City Centre and meet some of the people in for the parade. So how have you been getting on there?
Well, I have some wonderful women by my side here who have come over especially for the occasion from Texas in the United States of America. They're all members of the Apache Bells, a wonderful dance group. And amongst the women that are surrounding me here, Hayley Farmer is the head captain of the Apache Bells. And I might pass her over to you now, Ray.
Hello, Hayley.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah, well, we're not meeting, but we're chatting, I suppose, the same. Welcome to Ireland. Is it the first time that the Apache Bells have been to Ireland?
No, we've actually been to Ireland before as an organization about 20 years ago. But for the current team, yes, we haven't traveled as a current team since before the pandemic in 2019.
And you're world famous. You've been going since 1947. Not you, Hayley, yourself, but the Apache Bells.
Yes, that's correct. We were founded in 1947 by Mildred Stringer, and this year we're celebrating 75 years.
Wow. And you've done that thing that Rihanna has done and Lady Gaga has done and Janet Jackson has done.
Yes, we've actually been the halftime performers at two different Super Bowls.
Wow. So you're good. You're good, yeah. And I was on your website. So there's 13,000 students in Tyler Junior College. Is this a third level institution or a second level institution?
A third level institution. It's a college. It's a 2-year school.
Yeah.
So our team consists of first year university students and second year university students.
And you bring the band as well, do you?
At the halftime shows for football, the band is there. Unfortunately, they're not here with us in Ireland, but we're still so excited to represent the band and bells all together here for the school.
They're here in spirit, Hayley.
Yes, here in spirit.
That's a great sound. That's a really good sound. So have you got a chant? Will we do a chant?
Yes, we do have a chant. We can do that for you right now. Okay. I've got my fellow officers here for you. Ready?
Patch bells, patch bells, bells number one. We are patch bells, that's why it's all time. Takes this place to be number one. We are spirit fine, we are such fine. Oh, I love patchy bells, hey!
Hey! Yes, very good, yes. The band loved that, there you go. Thanks, lads. Thank you. Okay, that's Hayley Farmer. Audrey Smith is there with her. How you doing, Audrey? Audrey is a student at the college. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So you're... Hayley is the head dance captain, so she tells you all what to do. Is it a thing
she does.
Yes. No need to call me sir. Was it something that you aspired to do, to be a member of the Apache Bells?
Yes, so we have a 2-day-long audition process, and you know, a lot of us have planned towards auditioning for this for a very long time since we were very little girls. Growing up, all of my dance teachers were Apache Bells, so I always aspired to be like them. So after graduating high school, I went and auditioned, and following the 2-day process of interviews and workouts and dancing, we were selected to be a part of this team.
Congratulations.
Are
you nervous and looking forward to tomorrow?
Yes, I'm very, very excited for tomorrow. Even hearing about the rain, I'm still so excited. I think, to be quite honest, I would swim down the streets of Dublin if it meant to get to be a part of this parade.
Is it your first time in Ireland?
Yes, it is. It's my first time out of the country altogether. So this is very exciting and super new for me. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. So what do you think of us?
It's wonderful. It's beautiful. You know, we're extremely jet lagged, but I can't even force myself to fall asleep on the bus rides because it's just so beautiful here.
Yeah. Well, listen, enjoy tomorrow and good luck with it. And just
thank
look,
you so much.
Take it all in. Take it all in, Audrey. What do you plan to do when you leave college?
Upon graduating college, I hope to teach elementary school students back in the United States and Texas, hopefully.
Great. Thanks, Audrey. Thanks, Haley. Sinead, thanks so much for introducing us to Haley and Audrey. Where are you off to now?
Well, I might take a little bit of a wander around Dublin city centre. I think I might go as far as the Molly Malone statue because I'm bound to meet people who have come especially for the weekend to Dublin at the Molly Malone statue. You know yourself, people love to take a good selfie behind Molly. And
yes.
You never know, I might find somebody who knows the song as well and get a verse or two from them. Do you know it?
Stop.
In Dublin's fair
city. No, you're fine.
That's my favourite song. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I didn't ask. Sorry, what is it? Molly Malone? Is that the song that makes you feel Irish? No.
Well, I like Molly Malone, but a piece of music makes me feel Irish. The Merino Waltz by John Sheehan. I love that.
We'll dig that out.
The Board in the Moon that I had long ago.
Yes. Listen, well, we're on about favourite things. Do you have a favourite Irish saying?
Oscailin, I love Marin Cree Airdrum Evad. A light heart lives a long time. Maran Cree Airdrum Evad. So if you take everything in your stride,
yes, that's
you
a
live
nice one.
A long time. But you'll just have a
say
a,
it one more time for me.
Life, I suppose. Maran Cree Airdrum Evad.
Maran Cree Airdrum Evad. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, a light.
It's nice. Short
a light,
and simple
a light
as well.
Heart lives long.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For the moment, yeah. Guru Mahagud, Sinead. Talk to you soon. Bye.
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 Slán, Ray.
Slán. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon. Luca Bloom. You couldn't have come at a better time, says Michaela in Derry. These are songs that make you feel Irish. Dreams by the Cranberries. July by Mundy. Or anything by the Frames, says Ruth and Slorgan. I heard Louise Duffy playing Lay Down by Your. What's it? Lay in Your Grave or what's it, the one? Lay. Whatever. You know the one I'm talking about anyway, by the Frames today. It sounded great on the radio. That's Ruth and Slorgan. The Pogues. Galway Races. For me, it has to be Misha Eris as Therese, and Riverdance is the song to make me feel Irish, the same as our Emily, that's Anne. And Clonid remind me of living in Japan in the 1990s. The song Shane McGowan and Sinead O'Connor recorded together reminds me of London 1990s. Haunted, brilliant song, one of my favourites. And Christy Moore's coming in a couple of times. Somebody there mentions Joxer. So we'll come back to that when we play clips. But keep them coming in, songs that make you feel Irish. We're also looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done It quiz. Yeah, two quizzers, three whodunit questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, film, comedians. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you go without a clue, you get two because it's more difficult. And if you go with a clue and you get it right, you get one. And there's a prize and it's a two-night stay for two people. A luxurious break, they say, for two to Foda Island Resort in Cork, nestled at the heart of a peaceful island, surrounded by gorgeous scenery and just 8 miles from the bustling city of Cork. Pack your bags and escape to your own private island with Foda Island Resort. Two nights stay for two people, loads of things to do down there, swimming pool, world-class spa, the exclusive Cove restaurant. There's a golf course, and then in the environs, you have Foda Wildlife Park, Foda House and Gardens, the world-class English Market back in the city, which is only a stone's throw away. If you go the other direction, it's Ballymaloe and Ballycotton. FodaIsland.ie. FodaIsland.ie. Okay, here's your qualifying question on this eve of St. Patrick's Day. What did St. Patrick banish from Ireland? Was it snakes or ladders? What did St. Patrick banish from Ireland? Snakes or ladders? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Lay Me Down was the song I was trying to think of by the Frames that Louise played earlier on the day. Now, it's a big weekend for lovers of rugby and lovers of dance. And the man who now seamlessly straddles both worlds is former rugby player and Dancing with the Stars contestant, Shane Byrne. How are you doing, Shane?
Yeah, nice introduction there, Ray. Yeah, thanks very much.
You're uniquely qualified for this weekend, Shane.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Great. I have foot in both camps.
Yeah, you do. Yes, be careful now. You could do yourself an injury.
They don't head in different directions, yes.
Good to talk to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Looking forward to a good weekend.
Yeah, wow. This is historical, isn't it? This match, 5 o'clock, the Aviva Stadium, this Saturday against England. Just explain to people how big it is.
Yeah, well, look, the Grand Slam doesn't come around very often. Winning the Six Nations is a very, very tricky thing to do. It's hard to pull the string of games together, and that's why the Grand Slam is so few and far between. But also, to add to it, is the simple fact that we have the opportunity to win it at home. Mm. We had an opportunity back in 03, didn't work out against the English, and this time I think we're superbly set to make sure that this is the day that we do get a Grand Slam at home for the first time ever.
Yeah, and they're saying nice things about us in the British press. Mm. The Guardian are saying, unstoppable Ireland heading for a greenwash with England toiling. And so it's Robert Kitson saying, to anoint them as already Ireland's greatest ever team is a big call, but statistically, there is increasingly little doubt. Even when Brian O'Driscoll, Paul O'Connell and co. were flying in 2009, they had nothing like the depth Ireland now possess. And it's about depth, and we saw that last week against the Scottish, didn't we?
Yeah, and it's how they're dealing with adversity. No team has come across anything like that. The amount of injuries in the pack. And one of the most telling things that I heard said in the whole day and the interviews afterwards was Andy Farrell saying that everybody was almost giggling coming into the change room at halftime going, could anything else go possibly wrong? But that's a great sign. That's a team that is dealing with adversity that, you know, because that could have stunned the team into silence. Mm. Is how are we going to deal with this? How can we possibly get over this? And this is a sign of a team that has the top 2 inches right. I've heard people say this is another golden generation coming through, and I think that takes away from this team. I genuinely think that Irish rugby has made a step up. We're at a very high level now. The talent is there, and these set of players are amazingly talented, but I think the key to it is their determination. Their mindset is absolutely ruthless, and that's the key. That is the key to the whole thing. And they just, Caelan Doris, Keenan in the fullback, these guys just know success, and that's what they want to continue on with.
Now, people may not understand this, but it looks like England have nothing to play for. In fact, they've everything to play for. And you mentioned 2003. They like to spoil a party.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've done it so many times to England over the years that we would have, like, particularly in the 90s, we would have really bad Six Nations, and then we'd be playing England when they'd be going for something special at the end of it, and we pull out an amazing performance.
Yeah.
Be under no illusion, this England team has a really good performance in them, and that's something that will keep the Irish team very, very focused on this. There'll be no laissez-faire attitude with this. This will very much be sticking to the patterns, make sure that everything is exactly according to plan. Because what England are going to do, what they're going to try to do is just disrupt Ireland. Just get in among them. Don't let them get any flow into the game. Mm. Stop them getting that beautiful back play, as we've all seen them doing. Stop the forwards rumbling forward. That's their game plan. It's not particularly anything stylish that they're going to do. They're just going to try to upset Ireland, and that's the key to Andy Farrell making sure that the players are ready for that combat up front, and just to make sure that we play our game plan.
Yeah, and if we play our best and they play our best, we would win. Who is injured and who is available? Like, of the people who were injured last week?
I was looking around. I thought the team would be out at this stage. I can't see it out anyway yet.
Yeah.
But the Ringrose is out.
Is out, yeah.
Yeah, Henderson is out. Caelan Doris sounds good, that he's back, Sheehan back. So it isn't bad at all. And we've a few guys very importantly came back as well at the same time. Robbie Henshaw, I think, is actually key to it all now. Mm. In the fact that
Ringrose is not available,
he can slip into that 13 slot absolutely seamlessly. Bundiaki continues at 12, no issues there, which is absolutely superb. But you know, it really was something else that the team just went through that Scotland game, as you know, without missing a beat. It was superb to see, and that's going to hopefully see them through tomorrow.
Now, we'll talk about
not tomorrow.
Saturday. Yeah, no, everybody thinks it's Friday. You're okay.
It's
common mistake. So before we'll come back to Johnny Sexton and the rugby, but let's get on to the dancing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So you were there. You were there. You made it to week 7, didn't it? Am I correct?
Huh?
You made it to week 7.
No, week 8. How
week
dare
eight.
You?
Sorry. How dare I?
Well, I got to the RTE concert.
Obviously, yes. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
So there's 4 contestants left: Brooke Scullion, Carl Mullen, Damian McGinty, and Suzanne Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah. So who do you think? Who do you think is going to win?
Ah, jeez, Mackers. Listen, Brooke is an amazing dancer, as we've all seen, like her ability to not alone just get thrown around the dance floor, but to do it all in rhythm is just so impressive. I don't know, I have a sneaky feeling the one, the lads have proven hugely popular, because remember, this isn't just a strictly a dance competition. It's not just on that. That's why the judges are there, that's what they're there to do. But it's about how popular, how entertaining the guys are as well, and how much people want to see them again, and how much they deserve to get their hands on that crystal ball. So I have a sneaky feeling Damien or Carl could be the ones lifting that ball today.
And Carl has a daily campaign on the breakfast show on 2FM. So
it's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah. I was laughing away there because it's me talking to Shane Bourne, international rugby star, and he's giving me his take on a dancing competition. It's all a bit odd. Okay.
My 20 years rugby has just been forgotten about. Nobody's talking to me about that anymore.
Right, back to solid ground then. Johnny Sexton, his last Six Nations game in front of a home crowd. That's going to be huge for him, isn't it?
Absolutely massive. And that is the key to it, is that we've got to remember, Johnny, look, there's more rugby in it. He said he's going to play on into the World Cup. But we all know, more than likely, in all likelihood, it's finishing after that. He did allude to that, that's where he's going to finish. So this is his last game in the Aviva, last game playing England, last chance to get the hand on the silverware in the Six Nations. You know, it is an absolutely huge game. And like, it's not like he's hanging on in by his coattails. He still is the number one 10 in the country. And that's a huge compliment to man at the age he
37.
Is. 37. And just still as hungry and as grumpy on the pitch as just the way we like him. That's the way we want him.
Yeah, don't do any of that smiling, Johnny.
Not at all.
Listen, Shane, I know you're busy today, so thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us about rugby and dancing.
And one little thing, if people want something to do on the evening of Paddy's Day, it's Ireland versus England, legends playing in Donnybrook at 6 o'clock. Tickets on Ticketmaster and Universal.com.
Are you
and
playing?
I'll be out there. Yes, I'm playing. I'll be running around the place trying to save a bit of energy for the group dance on Sunday night.
Right, okay. You have a busy weekend. What? Legends busy rugby weekend. And group dance on Dancing with the Stars. Good luck, Shane. See you. Bye. Thanks.
Bye. See you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We have walls in our studio. Sorry, lads. Sorry. Well, if you didn't, the ceiling would fall in. Joe and Steve Wall, how are you?
Great. Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having us in.
Good to see you. You have a new album out, which is called Stray Sparks. And you're saying this is the last album.
The last Walls album. Yeah, right. It's the last Walls album. And
Final chapter.
Just four albums, a four-album history. It's not a lot of albums, but we do spend a lot of time making them.
Yeah, yeah. And this is sort of you went around, did you? It's a collection, like Magpie-like. You went picking up little gems.
Yeah. That would have been a good name for it, actually, Magpie, wouldn't it? That would have been a nice name. We have to jot that down for any future things, of sort of like unused tracks and all.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, Ray. Yeah, it's it was one of those sort of lockdown things, a chance to go back and listen to all the stuff that never ended up on previous albums. Just because, not because the songs weren't up to scratch or anything, it's just maybe they didn't fit in the style of the song. So this is what Stray Sparks is.
Great.
Some of those tracks were done for other things as well. Like those, I think there's a film soundtrack clip in there or something that I did for a short film once upon a time. And there was I don't know, where else did they come from?
And they're all different formats as well. So it was like, it was an interesting project doing it because it kind of brought us back to all of the different places that we'd worked in, going back to like 1997.
Right, that far back?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's interesting.
Different formats as well, formats of tape and recording and all that.
Before we get to the song, Steve, we've spoken to you before about your acting career.
Mm.
Yeah. So you get a phone call, right? And somebody says, can you be in Budapest by what time?
Yeah, that was very funny, actually. That was last October. I got a call on a Wednesday morning asking, could I go to Budapest that night? And the next day then I was like walking in to do a scene with Christopher Walken, Florence Pugh, Charlotte Rampling, Austin Butler, who I got on great with, actually, and Stellan Skarsgård, and a guy called Dave Bautista, who I hadn't met, didn't
I hadn't met anything before.
But I didn't know who he was. But it turns out he's in loads of Marvel type movies, right, and he was a big wrestler dude.
Ah, you're right.
So yeah,
don't expect me to compete with that.
No, I know.
Name dropping, right?
Talking about name dropping.
But I don't know if you noticed that, Joe, of your brother. You've been hanging around him a lot longer than I have. But he pretended he was plucking the names. He was searching his brain, and he knew them off by heart, obviously. But it was a bit of acting involved there.
He's
got them printed off in front of him.
So what was it for?
It was for Dune 2.
Right.
Yeah. So I've a very small role in it. Blink and you'll miss me probably.
But how many days filming?
I was out there for a week, actually. Yeah. So I was hanging around with all of that crowd every day.
And did you speak? It was a speaking part.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I have a couple of lines in it.
Hey, look at you. And you were saying you befriended Austin Butler, or he befriended you.
Yeah, we got on really well, actually, because... I had just seen the Elvis movie actually the week prior to that, and he's unbelievable. Yeah. I really think he should have got the Oscar for that. It was just, he was telling me he was in Australia for a year and a half working on that film, and myself and Jonah would be big Elvis fans, and Austin Butler, he knew his Elvis, he knew everything. I showed him a clip of The Walls playing, it was a show T.G. Carr did years ago, an Elvis tribute show, and we did a song called Crawfish, which was on the King Creole album. It's a very little known Elvis song. Yeah. Of course Austin Butler knew it.
Of course he did.
And I had a clip of it on my phone of us doing it on this T.G. Carr show, and he absolutely loved it. So we were chatting about that, and you see, I had played Chet Baker, so we both played music, you know,
icons. Yeah.
So we had a good chat about just music. He's mad into music. He loves music. He plays guitar.
He seems to be an intense young man.
He's pretty laid back now.
Is he? No, because I saw it during the week, because it was in some package around the Oscars, him accepting his Golden Globe, and he still had the Elvis, you know. Thank you very much.
You see, I don't know what he sounded like before that. Because,
yeah, well, he's coming back to normal now, whatever, because he doesn't sound like Elvis anymore. But he definitely took a while.
I suppose if you were there being Elvis for a year and a half, you know, it'd be hard to shake it off.
Yeah, it's like a bad groin injury. You know, he just couldn't get rid of it.
You wouldn't want to be acting like Elvis in every film. Yeah,
wouldn't. That's the thing. And you know, you'd want to be careful. You'd want to be careful.
The worst mistake I made on that was I thought I'd be really clever and go up to Christopher Walken and quote him a line from... There's a very funny Saturday Night Live sketch.
Right.
Called More Cowbell. And they're doing a skit on the recording of the Blue Oyster Cult song, Don't Fear the Reaper. Yeah. And Christopher Walken plays this famous music producer. So I thought it'd be really clever to go up and quote a line to Christopher Walken from this, a line that he says. So I quoted him this line, and he just glared at me like this really dirty look. And he said... that sketch has come back to haunt me. I told a friend of mine, Ollie Cole, about that, and he says, of all of the things you could quote, you know, talk to Christopher Walken about, all the amazing films he's been in, and you bring up a comedy sketch.
Yeah. Well, he could have loved it. You don't know, you know. But it's a high risk thing to
high risk.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay, so. Lucky Charm is from The Walls, Stray Sparks, CD 500, or you can stream it wherever you stream things, and it's available now. So Lucky Charm.
Yeah, the albums, people can order it. We just did a limited run, 500 CDs. We're not doing vinyl. It's just too difficult. You have to wait for so long to get them now. And so we're just doing a limited run for people that maybe still have a CD player in their car or at home. There's a limited run of 500 CDs, and you can order them from thewalls.ie. And it's...
Thewalls.ie.
Yeah, and we're shipping them on Monday.
Great. Okay. Lucky Charm.
You are a lucky charm, you'll never come to no harm. Birds up in the sky all keep a watch for you. I would travel miles and miles just to see that smile, but only if you want me to. Come on, take a spin with me. You can sleep across the back seat, and I'll take you where you wanna go. You've got a mellow tone, even on the telephone. Everything you say appeals to me. Everything you say is real to me. Thank you.
give me room on board. I promise I won't snore, and I won't wake you, baby. I give no attitude, and I'll praise all your food. So uncomplicated. Will we wind up in the dark? Or will we find a lucky spark? And all our disguises will be understood. When I'm broke, I don't wanna get fixed. A lucky stroke can turn out jinxed. But who would wanna live in a perfect world? Who would wanna live in a perfect world? Give me room and board. I promise I won't snore, and I won't wake you, baby. I'll give no attitude, and I'll praise all your food. So uncomplicated. Find the lucky spark, and all our disguises will be understood. When I'm broke, I don't wanna get fixed. A lucky stroke can turn out jinx. But who would wanna live in a perfect world? Who would wanna live in a perfect world?
Enjoyed that.
Thanks, Ray.
That was a lovely little bit at the end. What do you call that at the end?
Vibrato.
Vibrato. Lovely bit of vibrato at the end there. Somebody wants to know the name of the guitar.
What
acoustic guitar? That's the yours, obviously, Steve.
That's, yeah, well, it's actually Joe's, and he's playing my electric, and I'm we're both playing Gibsons, actually. This is a Gibson J45.
There you go.
And that's a nice,
interesting question.
You've got a good, musician out there with a discerning ear.
Yeah.
Can spot a good acoustic sound.
We're going to have the musical equivalent of the Child of Prague before we leave from the lads. They'll be singing The Bright and Shining Sun. For the moment, Steve, Joe, thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We've loads of clips of songs that make you feel Irish. They're coming up, but first we go back to Dublin City Centre and we say hello to Sinead Niulacon. How are you doing, Sinead?
All good, Ray. I feel like I'm in the middle of a disco here. I've met so many musicians since I've left Trinity College. There was a lone piper outside Trinity at the bottom of Grafton Street. I met a singer-songwriter playing a guitar, and there's a guitarist behind me next to the Molly Malone statue, and you can probably hear some of their music right now.
Yeah, it's a great place to busk, actually, there.
Absolutely, because you're kind of at the crossroads as well. You're close enough to Dame Street, to Grafton Street, heading over towards Wicklow Street and South William Street as well. So you are really in the best place possible in Dublin. And as well as that, as I said earlier, Molly Malone is there and everyone wants a selfie with Molly Malone.
And, which is brilliant, it's located in front of the Dublin Tourism Information Office.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't always there, if memory serves me well.
No.
I think it was moved there not so long ago when the Lewis was brought into Dublin city centre, say, when they were digging up there not so long ago.
Where was Molly Malone originally? Answers on postcards, please, to the RTE.
Do you know?
No, I can't remember. The bottom of Grafton Street. The bottom of Grafton Street. Oh, I do
so
know
too.
Where it was there. Yes, the bottom of Grafton Street. Right, yes, yes, yes.
So she didn't go far.
She didn't go far. as she pushed her wheelbarrow. Sorry, sir. Sorry.
Bit of boom.
Bit of boom, 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 boom. Now, you've been out trying to capture the atmosphere in the lead up to tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, where the world turns green. And of course, I was saying earlier on that 212,000 people are coming through Dublin Airport into Ireland for the next 4 days. Did you meet any of them?
I certainly did. I met a good few people there earlier today, and we were talking about the parade and how so many people come just to enjoy it, but so many people come to participate as well in the parade. And I met Mikey. He's from Purdue University in Indiana, and he's performing in the parade this year. I asked him what he plays.
I'm a tuba player. We bring the bass. We're the ones that go womp womp. So definitely one of the weirder groups within the band, but we honestly are probably the most Irish section. We're hooting and hollering all the time and having a great time.
And it's all about the bass, no treble, what?
Oh, it's all about the bass, every time. Nobody cares about all the treble. Don't have trouble with it.
Hey! Yeah. Go on, Mikey, with your tuba. There's Mikey and his tuba. All right. They're quite earnest, aren't they? A lot of the Americans. I like that about them. They're sort of serious people.
Absolutely, and yeah. If you're going to do something, you might as well do it right. And
exactly.
I felt that from Mikey when he was talking about partaking tomorrow in the parade. I met a few Spanish people as well.
Hello, my name is Marisa, and I come from Spain, exactly Andalusia, Almería. We are a group of students, Spanish students. We are studying English, and we are here all the week. And a marvelous coincidence, St. Patrick's Day, we are here. We are very exciting to see the parade and to leave the ambient in the city. We go to wear green, of course, it's St. Patrick's. And I wear the Irish flag in my face painting, yes. Yeah, we have to be immersed in the ambient.
I love her. So ambient is atmosphere.
That's it.
Language.
I met Marissa with a group of Spanish tourists, and they had arrived for the weekend, and they were great fun, and Marissa was as well. She was happy to speak to me and to give me the lowdown. They're learning English here.
Yeah, so from Spain to France.
We've done Irish dances and Gaelic football, and we loved it. Yeah, we tried to do it, and it was very fantastic. And the people there are very welcoming. They're very nice. They teach us everything. They ask questions. We can really learn a lot from them, so that's very good.
What's the plan so tomorrow? Will you all be wearing green?
We will try. We have some green socks already, some boat scarves and hats and funny hats too, sunglasses. So we will try to wear green, yeah.
Who was that, Sinead?
That was Clemens from France talking to me about the clothes that they'll be wearing tomorrow. I must raid my own wardrobe at home because I don't know if I have many green items, but H&M is nearby.
And you bumped into Shay from California. She's here for her friend's 30th birthday and she's immersing herself in the green of Ireland.
I got my nails done especially for the occasion. They're French manicure with the green tips on purpose to celebrate.
And what does celebrate entail tomorrow? What will you guys be up to?
I'm actually going on a tour to Kilkenny and
Glendalough.
And so I am just trying to find my tour guide right now.
Hey, thanks, Shay. So, who would have thought? Go on, tell us the story about the couple you met.
The couple, well, I was on the air with you not so long ago on Valentine's Day talking about Dublin as a romantic city. And I met a couple earlier today, and would you believe they've come here especially for their honeymoon to the most romantic city in the world?
My name is Angel.
Vanessa.
From Las Vegas, Nevada.
And you've come from Las Vegas to Dublin for St. Patrick's Day?
Yes, for St. Patrick's Day and our honeymoon.
Yeah, it's my first time in Europe, so I'm very excited.
And was it always on your bucket list that it would be Ireland for your honeymoon?
It wasn't at first, but after I started looking at places to come to in Europe, I got so excited for St. Paddy's Day. So I couldn't imagine spending it anywhere else.
Do you think Dublin is a romantic city?
It actually is. It is. There's a lot of places to go. It's very beautiful. There's a lot of good places to eat. And yeah, I think it's very romantic here.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's pretty amazing.
I'm not convinced that the thought is romantic.
What? I thought you were sold last time I was talking to you about it, no? Molly Malone!
Is there much green around the city?
I've seen a good few balloons. I've seen, I spotted a woman with shamrock earrings.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people wearing outfits with green coloured tops and green coloured trousers. There's definitely an atmosphere around, and I'd be in the city a good bit, but I do feel like there's an extra edge to the city today in the lead up to tomorrow's festivities and celebrations. So I do think that people are coming out. Maybe a few people are doing a recce as well, because think of it, of the parade. You want to get a good seat for the parade, or you want to get a good area where you're going to stand for the parade to watch it. You don't want to be stuck behind crowds or behind particularly tall people either.
I love the way you think people are coming out to do a recce to see where they'll stand tomorrow.
You never know.
Yeah, I know you do. You never know. Listen, Sinead, thanks so much for capturing a bit of the atmosphere in the lead up to St. Patrick's Day, and enjoy the long weekend anytime you have off. Slán, Sinead. Bye. That's Sinead and the Unicorn there. Out beside Molly Malone in Dublin City Centre. We were asking you what song makes you feel Irish. Anonymous texter said, I will feel bereft if Where's Me Jumper isn't on the list, Ray. So there, well, there you go. Don't feel bereft anymore.
Dancing at the disco. Oh no.
Jumperless but not bereft. On Tauron Na Shunta, our national anthem says, Anne Maria. Do you remember that historic game between Ireland and England in Croke Park? And grown men, big rugby players crying when the anthem came on. Yeah, that was a moment in history. A lot of people mentioned this, including Ruth. That's really good. And Sinead mentioned it, and it got loads of texts. People mentioned the Merino Waltz. Merino Waltz. Written by John Sheehan and performed along with the Dubliners and used in an ad on the telly. And then you heard a bit of it, Lick the Tins.
Wise men said, only fools watch it. But I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I sin? Would it be a sin if I can't help falling in love with you?
Lick the Tins. And their version of Can't Help Falling in Love. Pam McElkenny says that is just magic, featured in the movie The Snapper.
And the dream turned into a nightmare. Juxer stuck the head in Jack, who wanted to bring Johnny Giles and Eamon Dunphy back. Oh, well, the cock crew in the morning. It crew but loud and shrill, and Juxer woke up in his sleeping bag many miles from Arbor Hill. Next morning, none of the experts gave us the slightest chance. They said that the English team would lead us on a merry dance. Oh, with their Union Jacks, all them English fans, for victory they were set. Until Ray Houghton got the ball and he stuck it in the net.
Hey, go on, Ray Houghton, who put the ball in the English net. And finally, Danny Tiernan wants to hear a bit of this.
There was Barney McGee from the banks of the lane. There was Holland from Chelsea to home. There was Johnny McGurk, who was scared of a war, and a man from Westmead come along. There was Slugger O'Toole, who was drunk as a roll, and fighting Bill Tracy from Dover. And young Mike McCann from the banks of the Bank was the scum of the Irish Rover.
Thank you for all your suggestions. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. An ish toshy now in the pre-skeleton in Oakdale, Mora de Wallace. Gurmagad Mora, thank you very much. 51551radio.rt.ie. We still have snakes and walls to come. Yeah, two snakes and two walls. And of course, our quiz with two quizzers, our Who Done It quiz. Yeah, two quizzes are standing by, and there is a prize, and it's a two-night stay for two people at the Fota Island Resort, and it's down there in Cork, nestled in the heart of a peaceful island. Loads of things to do: swimming pool, world-class spa, exclusive cove restaurant. There's a golf course on your doorstep. Is the Fota Wildlife Park, Fota House and Gardens, and then it's 8 miles just from Cork City. Loads of things to do there. You can go the other direction out to Ballymaloe or Ballycotton. FotaIsland.ie, FotaIsland.ie for more information. And thanks to everybody there for helping us out this week. Dee Hickey, hello Dee.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad. Where in Cork are you?
We're in Fermoy in County Cork.
Right, you wouldn't have
not
to travel too far.
Too far.
Yeah, yeah. It's about what, 35 minutes I'm guessing. I don't know.
No? Yeah, a little less, yeah.
A little less than that. Okay, what are you up to today?
I'm just collected the kids from school. We did Friday treats today, and back at the house now.
Right. What does a Friday treat look like?
Oh, we always go to Hanley's, and the guys get their €1 or their €1.50.
Right.
And they get their little 50-cent bags, and they love it.
Of jellies.
Of jellies. Of,
yes.
What are our favourites, Tess? They're dolphins, aren't they? The dolphins, yeah.
Yes, and that's what memories are made of, isn't it? Those little traditions.
Oh, yeah, every Friday. It's like the whole town meets down there after school. It's great fun.
Right, yeah. We have a place up our way called Ed's, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing on Fridays, yeah. We met before. You've made this up. It was a competition. Oh, what did you win?
It was a competition on your previous radio show.
Yeah.
I won a custom-made bike.
Right.
And
why?
Lots of outdoor goodies for being very, very talented in the sports area, I would say.
What was the title of the competition, Dee?
Oh, Dee Mark. Oh, this is so embarrassing. For the laziest girl in Ireland.
I've no memory of that, Dee.
Really?
No.
Sorry. It was in the RDF. And the whole show there for the day.
Oh, yes. I remember that now. It was a sort of an outdoors activities exhibition.
It was.
Yes,
it was great fun.
Yes. I remember that. Yeah. No wonder I can't remember you, because it's one of those things I'm trying to forget. I remember we arrived down early in the morning. There was nobody there, and we had 3 hours to fill, and there was actually nobody there bar you, I think. And one man who was a scuba diver. I think you're the only people we spoke to. Anyway, did you use all the equipment? And you it wouldn't fit you now, that title, would it?
No. We're far too busy with three kids and a dog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Tall Paul is your husband. And how is he getting on?
Tall Paul is my husband. He's grand. He's here. He has all the kids involved in sports, which is great.
Great.
Yeah.
Will you go to a parade tomorrow?
Oh, we will, yeah. We're with the rowing club tomorrow. One of the Grand Marshals is a long-standing member of the rowing club, so we'll go to support him.
Great.
John Murphy.
Brilliant. Hello to him. Yeah. You're up against John Redmond in Kildare. Hello, John.
Hello, Ray.
You're in Kilcock.
I am in Kilcock, County Kildare, yes, the famous Kilcock.
Yes, and is there a parade in Kilcock?
There's the best parade in Ireland, I'd say, in Kilcock. There's a great community there in Kilcock. It's put on a great parade.
Kilcock
is famous for having the smallest parade about 10 or 12 years ago, Ray. We had the smallest parade in Ireland because all we had in it was Dickie Morton got rest and doing St. Patrick.
You're breaking
and he
up.
He walked around the parade. Dickie Morton did St. Patrick walking along the parade route because nobody else in the parade that year.
Dickie Morton dressed as St. Patrick.
Dickie Byrne.
Sorry. Yeah.
Poor old Dickie, he's dead since then. Dickie was a great character in Kilcock, and he always dressed as St. Patrick for St. Patrick's Day, and he was the smallest parade, the honour of the smallest parade in Ireland was Dickie Byrne about 12 years ago.
Guinness Book of World Records, yeah.
Probably.
So, did they get you wrong upstairs? It says here you plan to rollerblade the garden.
I might as well be rollerblading in the garden, but I know I got to
rotivate
the garden.
I had a lovely image of you and your rollerblades and your tutu going around the garden.
Oh, Jesus. No, that's a good. That's the best. No, road rage, right? Road rage. The bones of the car, ready to get stuck into it. Right. As soon as I finish on this quiz.
Yeah. Right. So you've hired the road evader from the plant hire, and you're going to.
That's right.
It could become a thing, John. It could become a thing. Don't mock it. Rollerblade in the garden.
They could charge lots of fiver to come in and rollerblade the garden.
Right, okay. Dee and John. Now, it's three questions each. They're all Irish today because tomorrow is our national holiday. And I will tell you the category and then you will tell me if you want a clue or not. If you go without a clue and you get it right, you get two. If you go with the clue and get it right, you get one. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if the drawing points, we will go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Thanks.
So it's music, Irish music. Dee, do you want a clue or not?
Irish music?
No clue. No clue. For two, who is this?
That jukebox in the corner blasting out my favourite song. The nights are getting warmer and won't be long.
Thin Lizzy, yeah, we let it play out, sure. Why not? We let it.
The boys are here again. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
It is indeed. Thin Lizzy, you get 2 points. Well done. John, to you we
go. No pressure, yeah.
Yeah, and let it play out, even if you know it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's nice to hear the bit, the 30 seconds or so. So, are you going with the clue or without the clue?
Without, Ray. I have to without. Go without.
Okay, for two, who is this? Well, John, who's that?
That is Dolores O'Riordan and the Cranberries.
It is indeed. 2 points for you. Good start from both of you. Right. Back to you, Dee. Second category, Irish actors. Irish actors.
Oh, okay.
So, do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
No clue. Okay. For two, which Irish actor is this?
In a way, it was just a bit of a blur, that whole experience. I think just what I remember from the actual
Ronan, you get in there,
just being really hungry because you're on the red carpet for about 2 hours before you go inside, and then you're in there for another 2.5 hours. So I was leppin'. That's Irish for starving. I was really, really hungry.
What's the word for starving?
Leppin'. Yeah.
Leppin'. There you go. Yeah. Saoirse Ronan, it is 2 points for you. Well done, John.
Yes.
Still under pressure. So it's Irish actors. Do you want to go to clue or not?
No clue, Ray. I'll chance it again.
No clue. For two, who is this?
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Who's that?
You know, I know this band as well as he was sitting here in the car with me.
No. Yeah. No.
I just can't remember his
name. Yeah. Liam Neeson. He's featured in his 100th film. I think he's on the Late Late Show tomorrow night talking about it. Marlowe, I think it is. That's Liam Neeson there. Okay, that changes the complexion of things, doesn't it, John? You're on two. Dee, you're on four. So it means, Dee, if you get anything from this final question, it's Irish comedy songs. If you get anything from this, you're today's winner. If you don't get anything and John goes without a clue and gets it right, then we're into a tiebreak situation. What do you want to do?
Okay. Sorry, did you say it was Irish comedy?
Irish comedy songs.
Sorry, Irish comedy songs.
Songs, yeah. Irish comedy songs. You know, it's funny songs.
I'll take a clue.
You'll take a clue. Okay. And we're looking to see who's singing this. His surname is the opposite of long.
Okay. Short.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Let's
see if you're right. No. Yeah, you're right. It is Pat Short. There you go. Didn't need the clip. John, sorry about that.
All right, Ray. No problem.
John, we're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup. And listen,
I'll drink tea while I'm rollerblading around the garden, Ray.
Yes, that's what I was just saying. We might set up a new business, John. I'll be on to you. Garden rollerblading. Okay, see you, John. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the parade. See you now. Bye. Enjoy the parade down in Kilcock. Dee, well done.
Yay, thank you so much.
Yes, you're off. Go on.
I've everybody jumping around. around the house here. My daughters, Tess and Ruby and Evan, is listening in the kitchen.
Great.
And Buddy the dog. We're all excited.
Yay!
To see Mummy and Daddy heading off.
Yeah. Fodeisland.ie is where you can go to see what's in store for you.
Thank you.
Enjoy everything. Enjoy that. Enjoy the break.
Thank
enjoy
you
St.
So
Patrick's
much.
Day. See you, Dee. Talk
Thank
to you,
you
again. Bye now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we're gearing up for tomorrow by debunking one legend that is often associated with St. Patrick, the one where he banished all the snakes from Ireland. So where... were there any snakes for him to banish? That's the big question. Snake expert and senior science officer at the Herpetological Society of Ireland, Rob Gandola, joins me now. How are you doing, Rob?
Oh, you're right.
Herpetological.
Yep.
Anything to do with snakes? No.
Yeah, and herpes. So it means crawling thing. So that's where they all come from.
Right.
From Greek herpeton.
Herpeton, right.
Yep.
And you brought two snakes with you. That bag is moving, Rob.
Yeah, that's Snoot, our corn snake. See, she's been getting attention outside, so now she wants more.
Right.
You know, and then we have Bandit here, who's a tricoloured hognose snake in the tub.
Yeah, but not the Irish flag, just three colours as opposed to, you know.
Yeah, he's black, red and white, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't get a green, white and orange one as far
Can
as I
not?
Know.
No.
Somebody will be trying, though. They'll make a fortune.
Now, St. Patrick banished the snakes from Ireland. Did we have snakes to banish is the question.
Well, according to a fella who lived about 100 years before St. Patrick, no, we didn't. So
right.
Gaius Julius, and not Caesar, Solinus, another Roman-sounding guy, had sent a message back that Ireland was free of snakes and toads before St. Patrick ever came on the scene. And then St. Patrick obviously banished them. And then you have St. Donatus then in the 8th century said Ireland had no toads, frogs or snakes. Only lizards, and they were harmless. And that was from a book as well.
About no, the Glendale. First guy now, the first guy, he sent the information back to where?
Well, it's obviously recorded, so it was a monastery somewhere.
Oh, right,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So it could have gone back as far as even like the Papal State or somewhere like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's yeah. So he was doing some sort of flora and fauna record of Ireland. And he said there was no snakes.
Yeah, and that seems to be the recurring theme for the last, like right up until the Normans even arrived here.
So people remarked on the fact that there were no snakes.
Yeah, we're far too holy for snakes or toxic animals.
But there were snakes everywhere else. That's the thing. And we, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, we separated from the landmass of Europe, didn't we? And sort of floated off a bit.
Yeah. So if you look, because everybody talks about everything since the Ice Age, the last Ice Age. So before that was an era called the Pleistocene. And that had a start, a middle and end, the early, the late, the middle and the late. So there's fossil evidence from Great Britain that there was toads and turtles and snakes and lizards there.
Right.
And you'd imagine that there probably was in Ireland as well, because that's where our hyena fossils come from as well. And, you know, hippos and woolly mammoth teeth and stuff. We're all from this particular area beforehand.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a good chance we had snakes and toads and stuff. But when the last glacial maximum, as the LGM, if you're reading it here, when the ice retreated, it took nearly all of our fossil beds with it.
Uh-huh.
So Irish fossils are very good for stuff that's very, very old. Like you're looking into hundreds of millions of years old, and it's terrible for anything more recent. So in the last kind of 100,000 years or so, it's not very good.
So retrospectively, St. Patrick got the kudos for us having those snakes. Because we were reading out at the start there that he got the kudos for salmon's been able to leap up upstream.
It was some man.
I'd
imagine the snakes was probably something to do with the pagans and druids, because the druids, like there was the old big Celtic sea route up the Spanish and Portuguese coast into Ireland and northwest Europe. So you'd imagine culture changed. So the lads, the druids would have seen venomous snakes in Spain and in Central Europe, and they would have been tattooed and looked pretty awesome, you know?
Yes.
So now the druids are in Ireland spreading the same sort of culture. And St. Patrick's like, no, you just need to be Christian. So the lads with the snakes are
gone
into the sea, you know? So it could have been that. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good theory. That's
maybe.
Yeah. How many snakes have you got?
At the moment, we've only got five. But
right.
they're all rescues. We're rescuing snakes again. It's like 2010 all over again.
Because what happened with lockdown, people got snakes. Is that it? Or
yeah, and just the energy crisis. People can't afford them, and
you have to keep them at a high temperature. Is that
well?
It?
It's bulbs. It's heating and lighting. It depends
right.
what you have, but like some of the lizards will need specialist lighting, so you're running them 10, 12 hours a day and things like that too. So
okay.
So they're saying as a like they're an accessory rather than a necessity.
And
know?
An expensive accessory.
It can be.
Yeah.
Depends. Yeah.
So you get a call. And you come
yep.
and, yeah.
Yeah, and we're told, can you take these guys in, or do you know somebody who'd want them, you know? Yeah. And usually it's they're emigrating, or they're getting out of trade, or it's just... If it's the snake or the tumble dryer is winning.
Now, there's a bit of a vacuum. There's a bit of a vacuum when it comes to legislation around snakes in Ireland, isn't there?
Oh yeah. So we don't have the Dangerous Wildlife Act like they have right. in, or the Dangerous Wildlife Order that they have in the North or in Great Britain. So essentially, in Ireland, is as long as you're keeping the animal in a humane condition, you can have what you want. Look, Snoot's getting out.
Yeah, Snoot's getting out. About it.
But so there are people who keep cobras and taipans and things like that in Ireland. And there's no legislation to say that they can't do so. Right. But as long as they're responsible about it and they keep them in like locked, I'm just going to take her out now.
Yeah, so do. Yeah, no. So how you
as long as they keep them in like double locked tanks and they have a safety protocol, you know. Generally, we've gotten away with it so far. There's only been one recent bite where one guy's been hammered by a pet. I think it was a puff adder.
Was it his?
Yeah, he was keeping it as a pet and he got bitten. It was probably the animal thought it was being fed and it missed whatever it was.
Was he hospitalised as a result of that?
I think he was. I think that the guys, so just so James in the Reptile Zoo in Kilkenny is the only guy who's authorised to hold antivenom in Ireland.
Okay.
So other than that, it's the Tropical Medical School in Liverpool. Right. Where it's coming from, and I think they just get called.
So because we don't have that dangerous species audit, we don't know how many snakes are in Ireland.
Not a clue.
Right.
Not a clue. Yeah.
What's have you got a guess? Have you got an idea?
It's likely to be in the thousands.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably high numbers. Like even speaking to the guys in the post office, like at one point there was cobras being sent by post. There's snakes
no
being
way.
Sent. Yeah. The fragile, like live deliveries with the big courier companies and stuff. You know, just with a fragile sticker stuck in it.
And on that, at one stage in our history, did somebody try to introduce snakes into Ireland? Why would you do that?
So this goes back to being a colony, right? So about in kind of the early 1800s, some lads obviously were said, look, this Anglo-Irish is nonsense and we want to be full-on British.
All right.
And what do they have in Great Britain that
we don't
have?
So
it's adders and grass snakes. Or they said, let's make the variety of wildlife in this country a bit more spicy, shall we say. So in County Down and Longford and Wexford, they tried to release grass snakes and adders and stuff. And I think a lot of the guys then had remorse and they put bounties on the animals to be captured again. And in some cases, it took up to 5 years to recapture them. But if you look at all, and all this is published, so it's all
documented,
is that the numbers were never big enough to establish a colony. You know, if you're going to try and establish...
You need a critical mass.
Yeah, you need about 100 individuals. So releasing 3 and 4 and 5 and 6...
It's not going to work.
No, because they'll get picked off by estrels and stuff.
So introduce us to the two snakes then.
Yeah, so this is Snoot. Do you want to take her?
If I have to.
So I'll hand Snoot. So Snoot is this kind of a weird taupey mauve colour. And Snoot was given to us when she looked like a piece of silly...
And what's she going to do to me now?
Nothing. As long as you haven't been handling rodents for your lunch or... something like that, you'd be all right. So, if you just use your fingers almost like a tree, you support her.
And then she'll
just hang on to you. So, the thing with holding snakes is you never squeeze them because their ribs are really delicate.
No, I'm not going to snoot. Yeah. Don't worry, Snoot. I'm not
so,
going to.
So
she can flicking, see me now. She's giving me the eye.
Yeah, and she can hear you. So, that's a new revelation is
you're
that
okay,
snakes detect sound through their bones and their jaw, but they actually can hear, even though they've no external ears.
And how she's tensing up there now. No, that microphone doesn't work, Snoot.
So if you look at her tongue there, which is a lovely red colour, she's sensing, she's picking up all the molecules in the air. So you'll smell different to me and the lads, and she's just figuring out what's going on around and to see if there's anything there that's worth being afraid of or worth just, you know, investigating.
Can she smell fear?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, you're giving off pheromones all the time, you know. Are you afraid? Do you want me to take her back?
No, I'll
take
her
back.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid at all. But I've work to do here.
Oh, yeah, Grant. that's my excuse, you know. Stop messing with those animals and go and make some money to pay the bills. Yeah.
So that's Snoot. Thanks. Lovely to meet Snoot, actually. And she went for the microphone there, probably a natural broadcaster. And they're looking, there's obviously a gap in the schedule over on TV. What about this guy here, the tricolour?
I'll show you. So this is Bandit. So Bandit's a tricoloured hognose snake.
Joe, are you afraid of snakes?
I'm not, but I'm on alert. I'm on high alert.
Yes.
I find myself naturally on high alert when I'm around
snakes,
these critters.
Yeah. So go on, it's a natural reaction, isn't it?
Yeah, but you see where Bandit has these white stripes now? And you can just see the remnants of where
the
he had red bands.
Yes, and he's predominantly black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when he was small, they're really good mimics of coral snakes, which are highly venomous, snake eaters predominantly. And this, the group of snakes that he belongs to, like the hognose snakes, most of them in South America are mimics of really venomous snakes. So you get ones that are like a mint green colour.
So they're not as venomous, but other species are afraid of them because they think they're venomous.
Yeah, it's trickery, brilliant, isn't it? Yeah, it's mimicry. It's biomimicry.
They're like a tribute act.
Yeah, they're like a tribute act.
But where the tribute act is better in some cases than the real thing. Yeah. So these guys do actually have venom, but the venom is, they've got really small mouths anyway, and the venom gland, it leaks venom down the back, the rear teeth. So you have to let them chew it in. They're not like vipers or cobras where the teeth are like hypodermic syringes.
The lads have a song saying, Bandit is called Bandit. Why?
Because he had a mask when he was smaller. It was like a little black mask, so it looked like he was going to rob your bank.
Rob, stay with us. I don't know if Snoot and Bandit are like this, but I'm looking forward to it. It's The Walls, Bright and Shining Sun, and we're musical Child of Prague, hoping that this will help the weather tomorrow for all the parades all over the country. When you're ready.
Space drifting, a smile upon his face. There's no turning back, what's done is done. He's heading for the bright and shining sun. People on the other side, the people who pass through your life, their faces seem to fade away somehow. So when I roll the cameras, come and take a bow. It's so strange when life extinguishes its flame. So I run and I run to the bright and shining sun. Yeah, I run and I run to the bright and shining sun. Walking through the barrio, stopping for another carajillo. Covers me in warm and gentle rays, holds me through the night and lights the day. In this place I could escape and change my ways. So I run and I run to the bright and shining sun. Yeah, I run and I run to the bright and shining sun.
Bright and Shining Sun, their new album, Stray Sparks, thewalls.ie, thewalls.ie. Steve, Joe, thank you very much. Thank you. Rob, Snoot, Bandit, Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ray.
We'll talk to you again. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back on Monday. Enjoy your celebrations and your St. Patrick's Day and the parades and everything else. And as I say, we'll talk to you on Monday. Good luck.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.